Sean.
And I'm Carrie. Sean's an ex-cop who does happier things now.
That's for sure. And Carrie's a New York Times and internationally best-selling children's book novelist. We live in Down East Maine, and our podcast is a little funky. We start off with a random thought we recorded in bed, or the kitchen, or the car, and then we give a writing tip and a dog tip for life because our dogs are wise and smart and like to be included.
We're not hoity-toity. We're not all trash talk, although we try. We're just us. So thanks for joining us. Please like, subscribe, and be cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and dogs are smarter than people. And we begin with a random thought.
Let's do it, baby.
Now. It's super cold in Maine today as we record this.
But it's also very beautiful.
It's sunny and not windy, but really, really, really cold.
Pretty chilly.
There are bed races in Bar Harbor, the town where we live. Bed races are, they close a stretch of one of the two main streets. Yes, two main streets in Bar Harbor. And they, teams of four runners race beds. And someone has to ride on the bed.
Yeah.
And they race the bed down the street and they get timed. And the winner gets a trophy, I think.
I don't know what they get.
Bar Harbor Rotary Interact Club from the high school won best decorated due to our beautiful use of rainbows.
They did this year?
Yeah, they just did.
Today?
Yeah. Uh-huh, nice. Today.
They didn't win the race, though, huh?
No, we never win the race. Wow. But we don't care, because we often win best decorated.
Hey, everybody's a winner at the bed races.
Everyone's a winner in the bed races.
Just for showing up and freezing your butt off and running.
And like,
or ride.
And the sides of the street are crowded with like viewers. And if we were gonna do a random thought, we probably should have put our seatbelts on and been good.
Good role models.
Yeah, not done illegal things in a way that's being recorded.
It's a really long driveway. We just almost get to the end of it now.
So I tried to decorate. If you do not know, we have kittens. And I tried to, not decorate, but wrap presents. And that was a massive fail.
And you only had to do one kitten for that.
And the only one kitten was at home that time. The other kitten is out gallivanting and away for the weekend. And,
that's funny.
Yeah, we're going to have to put chicken wire around everything for Christmas. She did a fly. I put the presents that were wrapped in a little brown bag. She did a flying leap up onto the kitchen table and knocked the bag over.
Oh, I believe it. I'm surprised she didn't just yank the tablecloth off.
No, the tablecloth flew too. But I saved the tablecloth from the
ground.
Dude, it's going to be a really hard Christmas. We're going to lose a lot of things.
Yeah, I think we should just start off with like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
We can't, like, put anything breakable on the Christmas tree.
Maybe we can
do, a lot of leaves over there.
Do, like, a circle of catnip around it and keep it refreshed constantly.
Our neighbors are leaf blowing.
That's a big pile of leaves.
Wow.
What are they going to do with
it? I don't know, but it's, like, two guys with their leaf blowers.
Well, you make it sound all crazy.
They're across the street. Why are they across the street? What are they doing?
They're blowing the leaves back into the yard.
Why don't they come to our yard? We're neighbors.
I have my own very own backpack leaf blower.
Yeah, but you're not going to do it.
Yeah, I will. I do it every year.
Dude, it was supposed to snow on Friday. And
so? It's going to be supposed to snow a lot.
Well, you got to do it before it snows, boo.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do, because you can't leaf blow the snow. Can you? It's a snow blower.
Wait,
is a snow blower the same as a leaf blower?
No, not even close. Oh. A snow blower doesn't use air.
No, are you fine?
It has rotating. Well,
they should make one that does both. Brilliant, genius idea. No?
You've never blown snow before, have you?
No. Oh, that's the big heavy thing that you walk behind.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the majority of the time, there's usually a pretty good amount of wind to blow it around for you anyways, right back in your face normally. But,
I don't do manual labor.
Huh?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
What'd you say? Nothing. Oh, you don't do... Oh, I know, princess.
I'm in the living room. I would like to do a shout-out to Seth Meyers, who's also from Bedford, New Hampshire, because Sean and I were watching Seth Meyers' Netflix stand-up show, Seth Meyers' Lobby Baby. And in the middle of it, I said, I want fudge. And Sean...
What are you talking to?
I'm talking to my voicemail with Sean. And Sean was like, baby, I'll go get you fudge. I was like, no, honey, we don't have the food for fudge. We don't have the ingredients. And he was like, go look up the ingredients. And so I looked it up. And Sean ran to the grocery store and made fudge for me. And I'm pretty positive this is all because Seth Meyers just told the story of how his wife had a baby in the lobby and he sucked. And Sean was like... proving that not all men suck. Sean, is that your motivation? What's your motivation, dude?
It's just because I love you, love.
Oh, you all need a show.
Voice memo on the couch. And Sean just made a fatal error in our relationship.
Oh, wait. Was it when I went to the store and got stuff to make you fudge and then made you fudge all in the same night?
No.
Or was it when I sat through... like an hour and 45 minutes of your pleasure and watch this movie with you?
It's written by my friends.
Yeah, so?
Okay.
That's cool. I said it was very pleasurable.
Oh, you lie.
No, I don't lie.
No, let me tell you, when you lost all your relationship cred, everyone... I'm correct. So Sean, I'm like,
look at the piggy.
There's a piggy on the TV. Okay, so I'm like, hey man, let me tell you how I'm like Pete Buddha, whatever, the guy running for president.
You said I'm related.
We're related. And he was like, okay. He said he didn't care.
No, that's not what I said. That's not how it went at all.
And it was a setup for a joke, and you failed in our regular life because you blocked me. Like a bad improv player. You blocked me.
Oh, you didn't tell me we were playing improv, huh?
No, improv is life, man. You can't block your partner. It's like all about saying yes and. Like you want to have the other person have that safe space to go with their idea.
Oh, I thought that was just for after we went to bed.
Oh my god, I hate it.
The safe space.
It's been a very emotional hour and a half. I watched Let It Snow. I figured the character Tobin was M.T. Anderson, Matthew Tobin Anderson, YA writer, who also has a peanut allergy / sensitivity and is into music. And Sean didn't care. And then I sobbed.
I didn't care that you figured something out.
I sobbed when the kid tells her mom that she got into Columbia. Her mom's dying because, of course.
Yeah.
And the cat cared more than Sean. The kitten came over and licked my toes because she was so concerned about me. But Sean laughed at me because I was sobbing watching the Netflix movie, Let Us Know.
You didn't comfort
and
me.
And then you don't sob. And then when I'm like, hey man, I think Pete blah 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 and I are related, he didn't care. He didn't care.
You said, would you like
to know? You still don't even know why. Because you're so busy
no,
not
you asked,
caring.
You said, would you like to know how?
And he said no. He said no. Now no one will ever know.
That's not true.
Come on,
I'll just go look.
No, you can't. You'll never figure it out.
I'll go look on your profile on the computer.
It's not about the DNA.
Oh, it's not?
No. Ha ha ha, Mr. Know-it-all.
Well, then you're not really related.
It's about actions.
Oh.
I'm still not voting for him, but it's about actions.
Did he cry?
No. Oh my God.
What? Of the pod.
So, our podcast this week is not called Carrie is Ungrateful, even though Sean bought her fudge, made her fudge.
Bought and made.
Bought, well,
I didn't buy pre-made.
Bought the ingredient.
Bought the ingredient.
Okay, instead it's called Yo! We're high concept and you can be too.
Concept?
Yeah, not context.
Oh, concept.
Yes, concept.
Oh,
so,
they don't even teach that in social studies.
No. Oh, there goes the dog.
She's high context.
And context. So high concept, what is that? It's like the dramatic question. It's the way you describe in a quick craft-evading phrase all the energy inside your novel or your life. Or your dog. And you can do this for a notebook, but you can also do it for your life. Like mine would be latchkey kid overwhelmed by family secrets sets out to find who she is in a world that really couldn't give a crap.
That's funny. Couldn't give a crap. Because you said craptivating phrase.
I am craptivating. Anyways, sorry. Another one for me could be stuck in a small town, New Hampshire. Or stuck in small town New Hampshire, a weird psychic kid manages to survive thanks to her intellect until a rapist gives her a disease that attacks her brain, and she survives anyways.
Huh. Holy smokes, that's a strong, strong girl.
I know, man.
Ooh, she must have turned into a great woman. Hey, barking dog. Should I go take care of that dog?
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. All right. You all want to listen to me go get the dog?
Oh, you're going to do it?
I'm going to go do it. Oh. And you're going to think of your high concept.
My high concept?
Yeah, what's your high concept, man?
I don't know.
Gabby. Sean, you got to talk, man.
Oh, I'm supposed to be talking right now?
Yes, you're just
you. Oh, then I felt just like you. If I said it now, it'd be like a secret.
No, man.
Hear it. I don't know.
Come on, baby girl. Come in here.
What my high concept is.
Well, what would Gabby's high concept be?
Oh. Furry, silly dog.
No.
With rough childhood.
Yeah.
Gets adopted by the most amazing parents ever. And manages to survive.
Yeah, we have a lot of surviving in our...
Beating all the odds.
Yeah, like Gabby's could be... Fluffy white dog, abused for her first year of life, dreams of not being tied to a house and protecting people who love her back.
That's exactly what I said.
I just said it a little better.
You did.
Okay. I'll get so, what's yours, buddy?
Dude, why do you pressure me?
Because...
You're supposed to tell me this stuff ahead of time.
No, you gotta think on your
You're
feet.
Still waiting for Christmas present ideas. You know I can't think on the spot like
okay,
that.
I asked Sean for Christmas present ideas for himself. Like 2 months ago.
Probably because, as soon as I was done unwrapping last Christmas. But.
And he will legit not tell me any until the day before Christmas.
Well, isn't that what Amazon Prime is for?
No, not the day before Christmas when you live in Maine. Amazon Prime is like 2 to 3 days in Maine. Can everyone hear Gabby pant?
So I think I'm kind of just... Okay, high concept. It's the dramatic question. It's the way you describe in a quick, captivating phrase.
Yes.
All the energy inside your novel.
Or your life. What's
yeah.
your energy, man?
kind of smart white dude. Raised by a single mom and mostly his maternal grandparents. Turns out better than expected. Or maybe not as good as, I don't know.
Oh, man. Oh, shoot. So, anyways, there are sort of standard questions for every genre of story and movie. Will they fall in love? It's like a romance. Will the killer be caught? It's a thriller or a mystery. Will our hero survive the zombie gerbils? Like... Will the events of our youth shape us into fractured adults, or will we be made of awesome?
You should write a novel and incorporate all those questions.
Okay, tomorrow. So, don't be shy about what your story is about. Like,
will E.T. make it back home?
Right.
Will the Skywalkers go to the dark side?
All
of them? Will the Avengers defeat Thanos?
Just say it.
Will Hugh Grant fall in love with someone in a fulfilling way?
Even ghost reality shows on TV have a dramatic question. Will they catch evidence, real evidence of the ghosts? Will they get possessed? Will they survive the night in the haunted castle? Will Zach Baggins fall downstairs? I don't know, but
will
they
he
all
get
have...
a scratch on his back and freak out?
That was my Zach Baggins impersonation.
Pretty good.
And throwing a bro there, maybe. Bro. Ah! So, anyway.
That's all air. Bro. Anyways.
We're tangenting. Anyways. All those things are about what? Like, you kind of have this question, right? Like, yeah. But you also have characters who are super motivated. An awesome dramatic question isn't enough to make something a bestseller, but it's an important start. So you should get one for you and your story, right?
For your life and your story?
Like, yeah. Like, will E.T. make it home? Will Sean ever have $2 billion? I don't know. I just made that.
Did E.T. make it home?
Yes.
Oh, sweet.
Well, we believe he did. We saw him go in the...
All right, I'm cool.
Anyways, so, like, what's making it complicated for E.T. to get home? That's the obstacle, right? What's making it complicated for ghost hunters to find evidence? You add those obstacles up so that we doubt that the dramatic question is going to have a good positive answer.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's really like a roller coaster. You're just trying to dump them real hard before you pick them back up.
Yeah,
it's but like, some books do end in the dump.
Yes, but most books and movies have the low point, like the point of no, like a horrible, horrible hell place where like there is, you think like it's like three quarters of the way through the movie and you're or book and you're like, oh, everything is terrible. All the Avengers have disappeared. Thanos has brought in like a whole bunch of stuff. E.T. is being chased by FBI agents and about to die. There's no way they're going to get the bicycle up the mountain to the place where E.T.'s alien friends are waiting. Everything is hell. There's no way out of that, right?
Uh-huh.
That happens in every book and movie. Almost.
Yeah.
Yes. And so will those
Rocky be able to beat the other guy?
Yes, exactly. And Rocky's all bloody and disgusting, right? And he can't get up and the world is all messy and blurry. Always. So those obstacles aren't exactly a roller coaster. They are a bit, but they're also really just like, it's like Atlas and the weight of the world. Like you have more and more weight on your shoulders, more and more obstacles until you think, oh, there's no way they can survive.
Right.
Like the ghost dog scratching on our door.
And then what happens?
And then, you fix it. Yeah, sometimes. They survive. So you have to make sure that we care enough about them surviving. So we have an important question, the dramatic question or the high concept. We have the obstacles, but then we have to make sure that there's some damn strong convictions going on, right?
Yeah.
Right. So
I'm really glad that was read. That was the conviction.
All right. So E.T. knows he has to get home. Scarlett O'Hara is positive she has to marry that Ashley guy who's a twerp, but she wants to marry him anyways. Harry Potter, Iron Man, Captain America, Black Widow have to defeat Voldemort, Thanos, or whatever big bad that you want to insert. That character's super strong convictions are what makes us root for them, and we feel that conviction and those stakes resonate.
Dude, you really took over the podcast.
Well, I know, because you kept just looking at me. I'm learning the dog.
It's because you're pretty. But I had a revelation while you were doing it. I had an epiphany.
Yeah.
And my epiphany was this. I think there's a much greater likelihood of ghost hunters.
Oh my word.
Not specifically the ghost, just across the board, paranormal investigators.
Yeah.
Convincing me with physical evidence than a Bigfoot hunter ever coming to me with one shred of it.
Why you gotta be all hating on Bigfoot?
I'm not. I'm
you know someone found Bigfoot in a marble cake?
What? Did you say, do I know that happened?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. I have it. There's a marble cake and they cut it open and the headline from laughingsquid.com, which we know is a valid real news site.
So there was a little Bigfoot in there?
Yeah, a bundt cake reveals hidden Bigfoot when sliced.
That's awesome.
So there.
You know, I love everything Bigfoot. Because I really like the silhouettes that people have now and stuff. Anyways.
Hey, how about since I took over the podcast, you quickly tell us what the writing tip of the pod is, all gelled down.
Make a dramatic question about your characters. Mm-hmm. Or your head character, right? Your lead character.
Yeah.
Your most important character. Add some obstacles. I'm sorry, I looked at that real quick and I thought it said add testicles.
Alright, so if I'm the dramatic question for podcast is whether I will survive it in our marriage. And then the obstacle is Sean and the dog.
But make them real convictions.
Oh,
not
man.
Not pretend convictions like Carrie pretends he has.
My conviction is I want to get this podcast done.
It's fun.
I want to help people, though.
I will have fun.
Oh, man. Sigh.
Yeah. Roll on back. Dog tip for life, baby.
My dog tip for life is very similar to the writing tip of the pod. Would you like to read those, Sean?
Sure.
Okay.
Make a dramatic question.
No. Okay.
Like, am I going to find anybody with some leftover food on the sidewalk tonight so that I may eat? That was Sparty.
Okay.
Realize you have testicles. I mean obstacles. You must realize you have obstacles. And figure out the very best way to get around them.
I want it to be over.
Make yourself have the convictions to bash through those obstacles.
There.
See, if I was really rotten, I would have said it again. But I'm not going to.
You implied it.
Because getting bashed in the obstacles really hurts. Blessed us with their time and listen to our podcast. What other little tidbits should we tell them?
Well, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Artist in the song is Night Owl by Berg for Free.
That sounds so 80s. Anyways, it's cool. I like it. Got anything else going on in your world?
All the writing tips are at carriejonesbooks.blog. I just released a book called In the Woods with Steve Waddell. It's creepy, it's a little horrifying, and it's a little romantic.
Ooh, that's
cool. And it's the summer buzz book from Publishers Weekly.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What else?
I have a Patreon.
Oh, yeah. That's.
You can find us on social media.
The Patreon's a great way to read a book that's never been published by you.
Yes.
Only Patreon people get to read it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Subscribers,
man.
I mean.
And you get special content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can get special gifts, too, right?
I do. I send out art.
Carrie Jones paintings, which are all beautiful.
And books sometimes.
Yeah.
Signed.
Signed by me.
Sean.
Just kidding.
What do you want to tell people, honey bunny?
I don't know. Just thank you.
Oh,
thank you for listening.
Please like and subscribe and share.
Yeah, you said that.
Oh.
At the beginning, but we can say it twice.
Can we say it 87 times so people really do?
They'll probably just shut it off after like the 80th one at least.
Like, subscribe, share. Like, subscribe, share. Like, subscribe, share. Like, subscribe, share. No.
Get out and live your life.
Yes.
No matter what.
The whole point of Dogs Are Smarter Than People on this podcast is to try to make your life a tiny bit better for at least 2 seconds, in which you're like, at least we're not them, buddy. At least we're not them.
That's all. That's a good. People always have that outlook. At least we're not them.